You're listening to Thrive with Karina Grueling, a personal health and life design podcast for the modern everyday woman. Tune in and get inspired on how to thrive in your body and life. This is your host, Karina Grueling.
I'm glad you are back. If you have turned into this podcast episode, you are probably like me in your early to mid 40s or soon to be 40. So what changes are you noticing? How are you actually feeling? How are you perhaps having increasing difficulty maintaining your weight or sleeping poorly? Are hot flashes starting to occur, especially at night? Or maybe your PMS symptoms worsened. So do you feel less resilient somehow? Are your periods becoming more painful, much heavier, much lighter, or simply irregular? So while I can reassure you, you probably still have a few years, if not even a decade, until menopause, until the onset of menopause starts. So what is menopause? So menopause means that your last period was a year ago and then no longer returns. So only then you are in menopause. And the phase we are in now is called perimenopause. It's a time when our hormone estrogen goes on a roller coaster ride. Yes. And estrogen can then increase significantly in each cycle and then plummets deeply. And that causes our symptoms. And I noticed many changes since I turned 40 and I had to adjust or upgrade my diet and lifestyle habits. And that's why I'm doing this episode. And I want you to understand what happens during this phase of your life and what can you do about it. And there's a lot of talk about estrogen declining in your 40s. And that's a widely held belief. And it's true. Estrogen decreases over time, just like progesterone. So our female sex hormones, primarily produced in the ovaries, decrease. But in most women, if not actually in all women, there's actually an excess of hormone estrogen in the first few years of perimenopause. And there is too much of it compared to its counteract to progesterone. And unfortunately, progesterone slowly decreases. And that's really unfortunate because progesterone is our chill hormone. It has a calming, relaxing effect, and it's the counterbalance to estrogen and also does a good job of slowing down the effects of our estrogen. And in Chinese medicine, estrogen is often referred to as the yang. So estrogen is the yin within the yin, whereas progesterone is the yang within the yin. And progesterone levels decrease because you no longer have an ovulation every cycle and the quality of the eggs is no longer as optimal. And then eventually ovulation stops altogether. And progesterone can basically only be produced adequately by the corpus luteum, which is formed by ovulation. And that is responsible for this female progesterone production. And this imbalance between progesterone and estrogen then causes unpleasant symptoms. And it's true that not all women have severe symptoms or complaints. Now, some women only notice slight changes that might be a bit exhausting, but don't bother them much. So it's very, very different how we women experience this hormone transition. But the number, one factor that worsens our symptoms is stress. And this is the number one factor. And I observe that with many of my clients. Yeah, they have an insane level of stress. Because when we are in our 40s, we women, we are usually in the midst of our career. Yeah, we have to juggle career, children, household, other responsibilities. Some of us already have parents who may need care. So we not only have our children, but also our parents to take care of. Yeah, not all of us, but some of us. And if the partnership is also strained, if things aren't going really well, then that's already extremely stressful for us as well. Yeah, or maybe you have separated from your partner like I did. Yeah, and then you are also in a single mother. Yeah, so, and then we really need our progesterone because it ensures that we are relaxed. And that's our chill hormone because it's decreasing, we are also not as stress resistant anymore. we are not as resilient. And sometimes we fly off the handle over trivial things. So maybe you noticed that you were, much better able to deal with certain things a few years ago and much more relaxed about certain things. And now suddenly everything is always such a huge stress or ends in a drama. And we just have to consider that this hormonal transition, even if it's maybe only gently progressing, also affects our resilience and our mood. So if you are suffering from high stress, you can listen to episode 36, where I go into detail about it. So what also comes into play is that inflammation can intensify as we age, so-called low-grade inflammation. And they also have a negative impact on our hormone receptors. So by inflammation, I mean immune system reactions to fight infections. So your immune system uses messengers that block the receptors for estrogen and progesterone, and thus making ovulation more difficult, which then further disturbs and reduces our progesterone production. And that's why it's so important that we avoid sources of inflammation, such as smoking, alcohol, processed food, and of course, stress. So stress really leads to inflammation and can even increase our hormone imbalance situation. Also a lack of exercise, also environmental toxins from cosmetics, from cleaning agents promote inflammation, just as sugar and alcohol do. And an unhealthy gut environment can also increase inflammation. And that's why we should pay special attention to our lifestyle in this phase of hormonal transition. So I offer twice a year a detox. It's called the Ayurveda Hormone Detox. We are now nearly at the end of it. So I offer it in spring and I offer it in autumn. And that's an amazing opportunity to really boost your gut health. So typical complaints indicating that you are probably in perimenopause include, for example, suddenly heavy, longer periods. That can also really lead to very, very heavy periods, very heavy bleeding, which is related to estrogen dominance. But it can also be that you experience much weaker bleeding, and it can also fluctuate from cycle to cycle, or that your cycles become shorter, for example, less than 24 days. And a very typical sign that I also experience is that many women experience very tight breasts, especially in the second half of the cycle when the period arrives. If there isn't enough progesterone, you sleep more restlessly, you wake up more often at night, your menstrual cramps intensify, and migraines and headaches can also increase. So you notice that your PMS symptoms also worsen, especially mood swings, maybe even depressive mood appears. So night sweats are also quite common, especially around ovulation and the onset of menstruation. And you may also notice that you are gaining weight. So even though you're not really changing much in your life, your diet hasn't changed. So you're exercising as much as before. But you start to store more fat. And that's also a typical complaint. And of course, there can be many more complaints. So every woman is different. And it may also be that you don't notice any of this or nothing yet. So then just be super happy about it, but know about it, about the things that can happen, so that once it is a case, you know what to do. And as I said, there are various complaints and symptoms of fluctuating hormone levels. But what indicates a high estrogen level are especially breast tenderness, heavy periods, fluid retention, and irritability. And symptoms indicating a declining estrogen level are especially depression, night sweats, palpitations, hot flashes. So even if you only experience one of these symptoms, you know that this time of hormonal roller coaster isn't so fun. And yes, even partners, even family members sometimes don't really have much to love about it. And sometimes you might even feel like you're not really yourself anymore, that you are somehow changing and that your body is changing, that you simply don't feel comfortable anymore. And then it's obvious to go to the doctor and to ask for advice. And your doctor or gynecologist will probably recommend three things. So either they tell you to wait, eventually it will get better, don't be worried, and it's just how it is in menopause. Yeah, or they will describe you artificial hormones like the pill or an estrogen or progesterone medication, yeah, to balance the estrogen or progesterone level. So maybe they will also recommend an antidepressant. I hear that quite often from my clients. But none of this, by the way, is a good solution, or let's say will promote healing. In my opinion, waiting until the symptoms improve is a good option. Well, that could go on for another 10 years. So spending the next 10 years with mood swings, sleep disturbances, and hot flashes, I don't really think that has to be the case. And with an antidepressant, you definitely don't solve hormonal shifts. Yeah, so an antidepressant even has a negative impact. It can influence your hormones and often leads to even more weight gain. And yes, the pill, which can still produce hormones in your ovaries, it will completely shut down the hormone production, the estrogen production in your ovaries. And then something very unfavorable happens, because then you have no natural progesterone at all to balance out the increased estrogen level responsible for your complaints and pain. So the pill, I think I just did a mistake. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, but the pill really shuts down the body's own progesterone production in the ovaries. So progesterone, is a very valuable hormone in perimenopause. And that's why we really have to take care of it, so that it smoothly carries us through this time of hormonal roller coaster. But if you are taking the pill now, you are simply shutting down your natural progesterone production. And by the way, the pill contains no natural progesterone. That's very important to know. It's often claimed by doctors that there is progesterone in it, but that's not progesterone. It's a synthetically altered progesterone, but it doesn't have the same effect as our natural progesterone produced by the body, because it doesn't have a calming effect on the nervous system. And it can even be that the pill worsens certain symptoms. Yeah, and so that you suffer even more from mood swings, that you have mental disturbances, that your libido is reduced, or that you have more anxiety and more depression. And that's actually related to the pill, if you should feel that way. And yes, unfortunately, many doctors are not well enough informed, or their knowledge is simply outdated. Yeah, it's often claimed that the pill or other hormone preparations regulate the cycle. But that has nothing to do with regulation, because in reality, the pill shuts down the body's own hormone production. So if you want to learn more about this, then listen to episode 20, where I give many insights into it. So the ovaries shut down. Yes. And instead, you replace your own hormone production with artificial hormones. And you can imagine that this doesn't work so easily, that you can't regulate all these fine processes of the body's own hormone regulation with the a pill. That's simply not possible. And yes, in truth, we are masking the symptoms. But in the medium term, we are just creating new problems. So for example, the pill has a negative impact on the gut flora, on your libido, but it can also have a negative effect on your mood. And as I said, in some women, it can actually trigger depressive moods. And the pill robs you of important vitamins, minerals such as B vitamins, zinc, magnesium. So all these substances are very important for hormones to be produced in sufficient quantities. And they are important for good thyroid function. So unfortunately, the thyroid gland is really important when it also comes to estrogen dominance in perimenopause. So it's not uncommon for women in their 40s to develop symptoms of hypothyroidism, which can significantly slow down the metabolism and lead to weight gain. And I want to emphasize here, I'm not talking about hypothyroidism, but about the symptoms of hypothyroidism. So hypothyroidism means your thyroid is underactive. So if the doctor finds elevated TSH levels, yes, that's a typical value that is first taken to see how the thyroid gland is working. So if elevated levels are found, that doesn't mean that something is wrong with your thyroid gland. Well, at least not that something is fundamentally wrong, because the hormone TSH is secreted by the pituitary gland, and it is therefore not a thyroid hormone. Now, if this gland measures too few thyroid hormones in the blood, more TSH is released to give the thyroid gland the command to produce more thyroid hormones. So, however, the TSH level fluctuates greatly. So even during the day, if you measure in the morning, it's different from in the evening. And that's why a one-time measurement to determine the TSH value is much too uncertain and not meaningful at all. So, for example, the TSH level rises with stress or illness or nutrient deficiency. And it also increases if you take the pill or if you suffer from estrogen dominance. So you see, the TSH level depends on the pituitary gland. And the TSH level is associated with many factors that we also have to consider when we want to make a thyroid diagnosis. And doctors don't do that because they are not trained holistically, because they don't have this holistic view of the hormone system. And a medication is quickly prescribed, which, however, does not contribute to regulation, but actually only masks certain symptoms, which then lead to other shifts again, because it won't heal the imbalances that you have. And yes, and because, as I said, we women in our 40s often suffer from estrogen dominance and an increased stress level, the likelihood is relatively high that we also have elevated TSH levels. And then many general practitioners are satisfied with this elevated TSH level to quickly prescribe thyroid hormones like thyroxine. But as soon as you supply thyroid hormones from the outside, the thyroid gland lowers its own hormone production. And then symptoms of hypofunction intensify, especially weight gain. And the thyroid gland simply puts its feet up. Yeah, so it doesn't have to work anymore if you are supplying artificial hormones from the outside. However, I still want to emphasize that if you have a proven under-functioning thyroid, which also needs to be treated medically, it's enormously important to take care of your gut health and develop healthy lifestyle habits. And you will learn this in depth in my Hormone Thrive program. So from April, I have 2 spots available for my VIP program. So instead of being part of a group, you will enjoy a lot of one-on-one support from me. And you now have the chance to book an obligation-free discovery call so we can see if it's right for you to rebalance your hormones. And you will find the link to the program in my show notes. So if you listen to this podcast episode later and you are interested in the program, just feel free to write me and I will let you know when a spot is available again. And now let's go back to our topic. And I just wanted to point out that a good diagnosis, a complete diagnosis, must be made if you think your thyroid gland isn't functioning properly. You have a lot of options to support your thyroid gland without artificial hormones, at least if your thyroid gland is generally functioning quite well, namely through a healthy lifestyle. And even if you take thyroid hormones, which is really not a shame, I want to emphasize that again, it's very, very important that your diet and lifestyle are also improved. So we can adjust our lifestyle so that the thyroid gland works as optimally as possible. And reducing toxins, environmental toxins, is of course also a theme. So in summary, estrogen dominance in perimenopause can lead to symptoms of hypothyroidism. And this slow thyroid gland can also lead to symptoms of hypothyroidism. And thyroid gland, this thyroid gland then slows slows down metabolism even further, and we convert less energy. And that's why women in perimenopause, unfortunately, often have the problem of gaining weight and difficulty losing it. So how can we now support this phase of hormonal transition as effectively as possible through natural means? So it's crucial that you support your natural progesterone production, especially by removing or drastically reducing stress and pressure from your life. So you can find an article on my blog on how to naturally increase your progesterone. And I will add the link to the show notes. So take care to minimize stress as much as possible. And this is easily said, and I know in practice, often you can't see how to do this. But there are ways. Yeah. And that's, if that is a case for you, then see where you can make changes to have less stress in your life. That's also a big part of my Hormone Thrive program. Because our stress hormone cortisol is a severe robber of progesterone. The body will always produce cortisol in times of stress and less progesterone. Then we should take care to break down excess estrogen or balance estrogen levels again, depending on which phase you are in and which phase your estrogen levels are. And as a little tip, I want to suggest that especially in the first half of your cycle, you eat 1 to 2 tablespoons of freshly ground flaxseed daily. So flaxseed has been proven to have a positive effect on estrogen balance. And you can also add flaxseed to your breakfast, for example, to your smoothie, to your porridge. And then it's also very important that you support your liver, especially by largely avoiding alcohol, eating a lot, that you eat a lot of vegetables, a lot of dark green salads, and most importantly, that you eat also vegetables such as broccoli, cauliflower, but also red cabbage, rocket, white cabbage, which have been proven to help remove excess estrogen from the body. And of course, reduce inflammation, as I mentioned earlier, especially by avoiding or reducing sugar, especially eliminating processed foods. Yeah, with that, I mean industrially produced foods. So these contain a lot of inflammation promoting substances. And I would strongly recommend that you supplement with vitamin D3. As it has very anti-inflammatory effects and also affects many other processes in your body. So vitamin D deficiency must be ruled out. And you can also have a test done by your doctor. And then it's particularly important in winter to supplement vitamin D3. So from October to Easter, I would say, depending on where you live. And in summer, you should really spend about 20 minutes in the sun regularly so that your vitamin D stores, or your vitamin D intake increases. So if you are only in the shade, that won't be enough. And you would also need to supplement with vitamin D3 in the summer if you prefer being in the shade always. And very importantly, good digestion is crucial here as well, because hormones are also safely excreted and metabolized through the intestines. So I often have clients that already supplement with vitamin D3 and they are still deficient. And then we look closely at their gut health. Yes. So you see, it can become quite a complex topic. And if you need help with this, I would like to recommend my Hormone Thrive program again. And I'm offering the VIP program for 2 people from mid-April. So if you didn't listen to the episode at that time when it was released, you can just drop me a message. And if you're listening, and because there will be a waiting list, so that you can join the next round. I'm super happy if my podcast helps you better understand your hormone system symptoms so that you take care of your health, and that you take your health into your own hands and take responsibility for yourself. And in return, I would be very happy if you leave me a 5-star rating or even write me a little review. I'm really looking forward to the next time we meet here on the Thrive Podcast. And until then, I wish you all the best.
Thanks for joining in today. To learn more about the Thrive Podcast or to get involved in Karina's growing community and online courses, visit karinagrueling.com. Remain committed to intentional choices that help you grow and thrive in your body and life, because you're worth it.